share this on it. Oh, everyone. Want a drink, Asher?
Is that one on?
Okay, gentlemen, Rabbi, first of all, our limud of Sefer Chofetz Chaim is L'Ischus Refuas Yosef Dov Ben Chayla Hishtav Refuas Shleim B'Sorach Shochay L'Yisrael. So the Chofetz Chaim was taking us in his Akdoma through history, and we learned how the first chait, the chait of Eitz Hadas, in what's called there was a Moitzi Shema there and a Loshon Hara, and then we learned about Vayovei Yosef es Dibor Somro El Aviem. So our Golus from Gan Eden and our Golus to Mitzrayim are both caused by Loshon Hara. The Chofetz Chaim goes on to the next one, and he's saying that the main reasons, he says that I quoted it, he says the main reason for the Jews suffering in Egypt was Loshon Hara. That was what brought them down, this Dibor Somro El Aviem. He said, and the next thing he says is that the underlying cause of our present Golus is the Chet of the Meraglim. And the Meraglim spoke by Yotziu Dibo al Oretz. And as the Chofetz Chaim explains later on in his Sefer, that actually there's no Issa to speak Dibo al Oretz, a land, yeah? There's no Issa to speak about this chair, to say it's an uncomfortable chair. Yeah, there's no issa whatsoever. There's no issa to speak Loshon Hara about a land. The land doesn't feel anything. The land doesn't suffer as a result of the fact that I'm speaking Loshon Hara about it. His feelings are not hurt. Afal biken, you see the result of speaking Loshon Hara. Yeah, they didn't do an actual technical avera by speaking Dibor La'oretz. But, yeah, unless it was sheker, but it wasn't sheker. Everything they said was true. And afal biken, it was the cause of our Golus, and it was the cause of the first Tisha B'Av, and the Rebbeinu Shem said that because you cried for nothing on this Tisha B'Av, therefore Tisha B'Av L'doyeris, and therefore says the Chofetz Chaim, when you go through history, you see that time after time it is Loshon Hara that causes Golios, that causes Tzoros, that causes all the problems that we have nowadays, and therefore obviously he says we have to be Mischazik and to learn Sefer Chofetz Chaim in order that we can prevent such happenings.
Dodger there, Turaway, Northwest London, Monday, 12th of Shavuot, 22nd of January, Rabbi Aaron Elias, Shlita, Pshat Q&A on Eishes Chayim. This week's Torah is sponsored by Shamli Blachman, Lina Nishmat, Rabbi Shayol, Ben Rabbi Avron, Shimshu, Ben Rochel. The outside is on Wednesday. Rabbi Nishmat, Moras Sora Reza, Bas Rabbi Yomin, Akhayim, Lea Shonim. The outside is next Monday, and also the Tisha, Shua, Machalim, on the Kamoh. Shach Sula Votem, Lesholem, and Heirot, and also Molotov, Sir Hossam, Jamie Cohen on his fashion today.
Good morning. First of all, I want to thank the Poskim B'Chvod Achsanya, thank all the organizers for the Gelegenheit to speak here today, and also thank for Jamie for getting me a slot here on his Chasana. Eishes Chayil. Eishes Chayil, as we know, you can learn Pshat in Eishes Chayil, there's also Drush. There's a mahalach to learn that the Eishes Chayil is referring to the Torah Kedoshah. The Gaon has, the got a mahalach. The Marbin brings a mahalach. He's talking about the Neshama Kedoshah. And I see there's other mahalach, maybe from Zoya. He's talking about the Shechina Kedoshah. So we're talking about Pshat, Poshut Pshat. I've got together Kuntras just last week with 63 questions and answers, Pshat in Eishes Chayil. I won't be able to go through all the questions and answers, but I want a selection to appreciate a little bit, understand a bit more in depth, Eishes Chayil. So at the beginning, Shlomo HaMelech starts off, Eishes Chayil miYimso, v'rochok mipeninim michro. Her Shverbez at Tzal asked the question, why michro? If we're talking about acquiring an Eishes Chayil, it should be mikro, not michro. Michro is the sale after he already has the item. So he tells us on that. I saw this question after writing the Kuntros, and Baruch Hashem, we were able to answer it. That's one question. What's the dimyan between Eishes Chayil, a woman, a wife, and Pininim? Pininim is a purely gashmistic item. Eishes Chayil, she's got a physical matias, obviously, but she's also ruchni, and her milas are milas ruchnias to a large extent. So why compared to Pininim exactly? Bimakdim, the Gemara in Horius, a few places, Dalshans, another posukim Mishlei, Yikorahi mi Pininim. When Shlomo HaMelech is referring to the Torah, that Torah is more precious than Pininim. Chazal take Pshat to mean it can't be Kepshuto, you can't compare Torah, which is purely Ruchnias, to a gashmistic item such as Pninim. Chazal say Pinim is reference to Lifnai v'Lifnim, the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is for sure a Ruchnis Nika, Betzias in Klal Yisrael, the highest Madrega of Ruchnis of any human being. Nevertheless, the Torah is much more elevated, and even therefore, Mamzer Talmid Chacham takes precedence to a Kohen Gadol who's a Ma'oritz. So that's a Chazal Darshan Yekore Himi Pinim. So I'm asking, Rochak Pinim Michro, why are we comparing that Eishas Kail to Pininim? What's the idea? Again, Pininim is purely physical. How does that help us? Another question, I must say, just to be mucky, most of the questions, they're not mine, they're Macharusa's questions. He's an artist and he has a very creative mind. I try and answer the questions, but anyway, you get on quite well. Another difficulty is, Shlomo Melech says, Eishas Chayil Miyimtso. What does he mean? You can't find? Miyimtso. You can't find Eishas Chayil? He had 1,000 wives, Chazal say in Bom Metzia. He didn't find an Eishas Chayil. Or maybe it's rhetorical, he's trying to say, it's difficult to find. If it's so difficult to find, maybe give us some advice. He straightway runs in and says, Botach Balei Balo. He's speaking about someone who found Eishas Chayil, but he didn't apparently tell us any advice how to acquire the Eishas Chayil. Also, we were oimed on this difficulty. Bichlal Chayil, what's the taich of a Chayil? We know with Chayil, with a Gibor Chayil, we find someone who's a warrior, and he's described with the Russian Chayil. That apparently means how he's a very, very efficient, a very successful in battle. But how do we apply that to Eishas Chayil? We're first, surely not talking about physical strength. We haven't found such a miler with a woman. So what exactly is the Nakuda of Chayil? How is it the... What's the Sadeh Shoveh? Okay, so now we'll try and answer the questions with one basic yesod. We have a golden rule, the Gemara Megillah, Vavam Abbas, Yogata Umotsoso Tamin. Only if you've toiled, we're talking about learning, striving to understand Torah, only if you've been misyageya, you've toiled, and then you tell us, motsoso, then we'll believe you, then you found it and you understand. If you're gato, v'lo motsoso, we won't believe you, and if you say, lo yogati motsoso, we also won't believe you. The Ramchal in Derech Etz Chaim brings down that Be'emes in Torah, the Metzia, the Torah is in front of you. The words of the Torah, the words of Chazal, Torah Shebal Peh, it's in front. But you have to be Misyageya to appreciate what actually is written, what they actually mean, to understand every detail. So the Metzia means you've got something in front of you, but you have to realize it, appreciate it. So with Eishas Chayil, the find doesn't have to mean that you're talking about a woman who's far away and you're looking for her, you're searching for her. Chazal say that the wife is it's the Aveda of the Baal. It's the Aveda, and the Baskol goes out 40 days before conception, 40 days before the Yetzirah Savlad. So what is the big Metzia? Are we talking about searching for years and years to find the right one? No, we're talking about a woman who you've got already. You've got, just as we have the Torah in front of us, if you're lazy and you're tired, you won't be able to understand the Torah of the Gemara. But if you're Zoiche, you'll be Moitze. Similarly, we're talking about Eishas Chayil, who you found already, but you have to bring the best out of her. So Shalom Melech, Eishas Chayil Miyim. So I don't know if you will really tap onto all the resources she has and fully appreciate her. Okay, so give us a bit of an Eitzah. So we thought to say like this, Amhalach, V'rochok mipelinim michro, that's the mafteach, that's the key to success. Shlomo Melech is saying that, what's the story of Pinim? First of all, what does Pinim mean? So the Malbim learns Pinim is pearls. However, the Rabbeinu Bachya, he learns in Sefer Shmois with the Choshe Mishpot that Yahalom is a Pnino, pearl. The Barbanel holds that Yahalom is a diamond, what we know. So it's a Machlokes Rishonim, what Yahalom is. So according to Rabbeinu Bachya, if Yahalom means pearl, so what is Pnina? It could be a diamond. What I want to suggest is that Pninim, we don't find it in the Tanakh ever in the singular, it's always plural. Suggestion is that Pninim is a range of precious gems. So within that range we have two categories. One is a pearl, and one is a diamond. Just two examples. What's the difference between them? The pearl, you've got a culture, you have a mother of pearl, where it slowly develops from nothing to a beautiful, beautiful gem. The diamond, you have to have human input. You have to polish and cut it. Depending on your input, then that's the result. So, if I can be mucked in with a story, a little story. Rabbi Zil Rosenbaum Schlita from Gateshead, he spoke once in Beit Vegan recent years, and he said over a story, he wanted to see the crown jewels. He was matriarch himself when he was in London on a visit to see the crown jewels. It's a whole mahalach there, a whole entrance fee, and he was wanted to see. He saw, he told us about the scepter. That was the queen's scepter. Now, the king's scepter has the biggest, largest diamond in the world. Anyone knows about diamonds, you know, the price jumps every carat which you add on. There they have a diamond which is 567 carat. It's priceless, but you can't even start to estimate the value. And they explained that the German specialist came to polish it, he fainted twice, whilst he was so afraid to make a wrong move with the polishing of the diamond. That was the story. So he wanted to appreciate what is Pninim, like the most precious jewel on earth, and to understand that Yekarim Pninim, Torah is a different league. You can't compare it even to such a diamond. So getting back to Esh Hayil, if we like, you've got two elements. Esh Hayil, who gets married, is Shem. Jamie will start up his house. And she's faced with all sorts of challenges with her husband, and just Shem of Kodesh Baruch Hu will give kinder, then with the children, bringing up the children. We know it's very challenging, and there are lots of exciting situations, scenarios to deal with the household. So if she carries on and goes b'derech hayoshor, damos to Hashem, increases her bitochen, learns how the best way to face these challenges, then she'll be like a Pnina, where she'll be appreciating from her own personal development. However, the husband's also there on hand, and he can always give her with his knowledge, Torah Shebalteh, Torah Shebichtav, and advice from Chazal. He can also help her and guide her, as it were, polish her, to polish her up and help her to keep on the Derech HaYosho. So we have both of these pullers. There's a puller of the Pnina, where she herself is improving herself if she goes B'yashrus, and also the polishing of the diamond. That's Pninim. And that's the Mafteach of Shlomo HaMelech. That is to say that if you want to find this Eshet Chayil, she's there. You married her. But I don't know if you'll tap onto all her resources. You have to know that if you're going to invest, you're going to let her develop her natural development, and you're going to have the input, then it's going to be rochot mipninim michro. She's going to be priceless. Okay, so one of the inyonim here in the kuntzus we dealt with was the inyon of the wife's hishtatfus in parnosah. I'm not going to go into it. There's a hakdoma on its own, which I dealt spoke with Reb Uri Weissblum Shlita from Nachlas Alevim. He was madrich me exactly. If you touch on the subject and you can't ignore it, Esh Hayil, there's several psukim regarding Parnosa. So we sat with him, and he guided me exactly how to approach the inyan. I've dealt with it extensively in the kuntras. By the way, Rabbi, there's kuntras in here. Anyone's interested in seeing it, it's in English. The whole thing is in English. You can take one because of the chasana. I'm distributing. Someone who feels he'll use it and read it, then he's welcome to take a copy. So I want to start now with Gumala Sutova Lora. So I translated it, she bestows on him good and not bad all the days of her life. Like, what's the, who would think that the wife would do ra to the husband? And if she did so, why? Obviously, it would continue. We know sometimes there's misunderstandings. One plans to do good, the wife wants to do something good, and it turns out the other opposite. The important klal is that the husband has to relate to her. As far as he's concerned, she's kulu toiv. Always praise her. Cherish her, express his appreciation. If there is sometimes a comment for the future, then just sort of mention it by the way. But the focus has to be on the good. And if he does that, hopefully you can hope that it'll continue to be only good. I'm going to now, it's Seder Aleph Beis, so holding by Vov. So interesting Nakuda here. It says, Vatokom Ba'od Laila, Vati ten teref leveisa v'chok lenaroseho. So a few questions. Why is she depriving herself of sleep? This day Esh Hayil has got a very, she's got a very busy day, as we've just been heard about. Dor shosem u'pishtim v'hoisakon yosoiche. She's getting up early. What's teref? Teref, we find out, the Masuda says, kaseida in Tanakh, teref means a chaya, a wild animal who kills his prey for food. That's teref. Why teref for her family? She gives teref. Why such a loshen? What's choik the narusel? Why is the narus, her daughters, are getting a different type of pashtus? Rashi says choik is some sort of food. Why for the children, other children, it's other maybais, it's teref, and the girls get choik. So I saw in Pirush Harid in Chos Gadol, it says teref means the exact amount they need for their nourishment. The Eishes Chayil makes sure that however many family members they are, they all get what they need. But she's not interested in overfeeding them. Overfeeding, that's not her department. She makes sure they get what they need. Nutrition-wise, they should be satisfied, but she's not interested in overfeeding. That's teref. I understand, like the Lahabda Lachaya, with the Chaya, he doesn't kill just for the fun of it. He kills because he's starving hungry. So he gets his prey and he eats it up. That's the beginning of teref. What's chok? So one of the Mephoshim, I think it's the Ralbag, says the Mahalach here that actually the chok here, that's the read actually, it's not talking about food. The Eishes Chayil gets up early. It could be her husband set the scene by getting up early to learn before Shachris. She gets up early. And then the children get affected. And her daughters also get into the mode of early to rise. And if they're early to rise, they may as well help with the housework. So the chok is allocating them work because they've also got up early willingly. That's the beautiful scenario which Shlomo Melech is describing. So providing food, what's the necessity? And the daughters, chok and arusel, they get their instructions what to do. Interesting, bezayin, zomam osodeh v'tikocheu. There's a difficulty here, Rabbi Sait. Zomam in Tanakh, it appears 10 times. It's always got a negative connotation. Zomam, Edim Zomam, whatever you want. What Zomam Asode? So the Mephoshim say Zomam means she choshwa. I understand we're looking for a Zayin, and choshwa is ches, but that's not a good enough excuse. Say choshwa, what Zomamo? Appears here also that the Eishes Chayil, when she gets into the real estate, she doesn't go there blindly to make mistakes. She learns the job properly, and she knows how to be a shrewd businesswoman to bring down the price and to make sure she doesn't get done in. Not to show that she's too excited before actually closing a deal. That's Zomamo. Zomamo. She's planning, but she's a bit like the Derech of Yaakov Avinu taught us that with Esav when he reveals to Rachel that Achei Avichahu, I know how to deal with not there, it's with Lavan. She says, yeah, but I can deal with him. Yeah, but are you allowed to just be dishonest? She says, yeah, sure. It says a pasuk im ikish titapol. In Ikesh Titapol, with love on, I'll beat him as play him his own game. So similarly here, when she's faced with a real estate, she has to be practical, and maybe her husband with his input informs her Yesoda Satoira and to help her to succeed. I'm jumping on now to Karpa Porosola Oni Viodecha Shilachola Evion. So what's going on here? Who's the Oni? Who's the Evyon? Why is it Kapo la Oni, her palm, her hand to the Oni, and her arm is extended to the Evyon? What's going on? So we know that Evyon, Rashi says in Sefer Tvorim, is Toiv l'kol dovah. He's much more, he's destitute. He's much more in need than the regular Oni. The Oni's lacking funds, but the Evyon is lacking everything. So why is the Evyon, if he's got priority, why is he mentioned at the end? Kapa polsol oni, and only yodcha shilchol Evyon. So the Chidor says, he's got a pirush homos anach, which is the cross gadolus. She opens her hands to the poor, that she gives with her actual hand. The poor who actually approach her, when she has funds, they come and they collect, they receive. But there are other aniim, who actually more worthy causes, they don't have, they're too embarrassed to actually come to her door. And she makes a mental note of who came and who didn't come. And then she realizes that A, B, C, the certain Evyonim who didn't come, they are more needy, and she makes sure to send them. They won't come to her daughter. She'll send them in a Bederech Kovod what they need. That's the Eishes Chayil. Where did she get it from? Perhaps from her husband, where he showed the Darkei Rachmonos, and we are Dar Rachmonim by Shonim Gomli Chasodim, or for her own input, her own Chinuch, but that's the Eishes Chayil's Hanhoga. I'm jumping now to Marba Dimas Ososolo. She made pretty bread spreads for herself. Sheish Rial Gomon Levusho. I've got the English here, I have to remember the Hebrew. Sheish Rial Gomon Levusho. She's got sheish is linen, and argomon. Argomon is a royal color. It's commonly known as purple, but there are rayas that it's actually red. It's a royal red. Al Koponim, she's got material which is the best quality bedding, So the question arises, why does she need to invest so much money in the bed? The answer is because the house of the Eshechal represents a Torah shtub. And Torah, if the outer bedspreads at least, that's called a Torah that should be clean and respectable of a high standard. And interesting, with Sodin afterwards, Sodin is, she stitches it herself. Sodin is the undersheet. There's no need to waste money on the Sodin if no one even notices it. The Mabadim have got a Mokum, and it's royal colour, because it's a Mokum Kodesh, the bedroom is a Mokum Kodesh. No Dabash Orin Balo is the... I want to skip that for the moment on both sides. We'll run out of time. Yeah. Oz v'hod olavusha. How do we teach? Simple translation of Oz v'hod olavusha. Oz is some type of strength. Hod is some type of beauty. That's her lavush. What do we talk? How? What's Oz shaykh to lavush? What's the connection? So the Ralbag actually explains with a few measured words. He says that. But important you saw it, he says her, the oath here is the strength to overcome her taiva. Any feelings of lust and desire, she overcomes it, and she does not allow her physical appearance, her dress, to express any inappropriate taiva. So you, from her dress you see her oaths, the internal strength, which she conquers her taiva, and she knows how to be in control. And that's the first liquid of oaths. What's hodah? Hodos is the Ralbag, that's her Midas Toivas. Her Midas Toivas and her Ois, her internal strength, these both give her her Levush. Her Levush is not just a physical dress, it's her whole appearance. That means the beauty of the Eishes Ha'il is for two reasons. She's got, you see her Ois, the strength to overcome her Taiva, and secondly, you see the Midas Toivas which come out in her appearance. That gives her the beauty. That's what Shlomo Melech is trying to tell us. Vatizchak Leomacharoin, Rashi says, a bit difficult to understand. How can she know? She doesn't know when the Yom Achron is, the last day on earth. How can she be soichek, be smiling? So Rashi says, no. Keseda, she's got a smile on her face. Why? Because she's waiting, anticipating the final day on earth. When they give her the hesped lefi kavodah, and she's satisfied and content with her whole Matthias in life. Again, whether it's coming from her own input, whether the husband's input, that's the Matthias. Well, I've got one or two questions here, major questions, which I want to focus on. Before that, Sophia, Tzadi. Sophia Halichos Beisa. What is Halichos Beisa? Rashi says two things. Rashi singles out MS and Tznius. She watches over, she's mashgiach in the children, that they should be careful with Midasa MS, truthfulness, and Tznius, modesty. Why did Rashi single these two out? I didn't find anyone who spoke about it, but I did a bit of research, and in Tanakh, in Nach, we find two middas which are called mahalchim. The way they accompany a person kaseda. We have the most common posuk in Micho with vatznei aleches lifnei elokecho lifnei Hashem vatznei aleches
im elokecho.
Hatznei aleches? Im elokecha. Thank you. So hatznei aleches, that's a leches. Tznius is not just a one-off thing occasionally. It's kaseda, person's speech, his appearance, his actions. Tznius accompanies the man and the woman all along. The woman, the Eishes Chayil is on the watch for tznius. The children have to be brought up with proper manners, proper derech eretz, proper tznius. That is a priority. Truthfulness. We find also posuk, I found in Melachim Aleph, capital base, Pasuk Dalet, to walk before me with truth. I don't remember the Hebrew notion I've got in English here. So it's Leleches Lefonai, Be'emes. So again, Leches, Halicha Lefonai, in front of Hashem. I think he's talking about Shlomo Melech. So it's a Halicha. The Emes is accompanies a person the whole time. We know we've got Nisonis the whole time. The person's got Nisonis to sometimes deviate when it's not really justified for petty reasons. And we have to know the Halacha, Tzrufa, and what's on Hashem. She's on the watch for Emes as well. Rabbeinu Yonah, his Loshen in Shai Tshuva, Shai Gimel, the paragraph, Kuf Pei Dalet, very strong Loshen, Rabbeinu Yonah, Emes hi mi Yisodei HaNefesh. Yisodei HaNefesh, the foundations of the whole soul, that's Emes. It's something very, very fundamental. And the Ramban in his Igeres mentions, of course, Tznius is basically Anova. And he says that's the midah toiva mikol amidas hatoiva. So these two midas, exceptional midas, are also their mahalchim. So she watches over halichos beiso. That seems to be what's pshat in Rashi. But boy, so the last two psukim which I'd like to settle on is, first, what's komu bonei avasharuah? By the way, I'm going back to the Shriya's Ferber's question with v'rochem pelinim bichro. Why are we talking about her selling price? It should be her purchasing price. No, because he's put the input. After the husband gives the input with his Eishes Chayil, he found her, and he helps her realize her full potential. Now she's priceless if he were to sell her. He's not selling, she's not for sale. But Rochel Pnina Michra, after his input, that's the Shomer Diuk. I don't know if you'll find her, you'll have to treat her like a diamond, like a pearl, and make her realize her potential, and then she'll be priceless. Komu v'nei v'yashua. This is a question which came up after we finished the kuntras. And what's komu? What's komu? Komu in simple Hebrew means they stood up. They can't praise her sitting down. Why komu v'nei v'yashua? Why komu? And also, it says by komu v'nei v'yashua, the sons were ma'asher. Apparently the sons, loshon l'asher, give credit perhaps. And the husband, ba'alo v'yhalalo. So what's the difference between La'asher and La'halel? What's going on here? And why the sons mentioned before the father? The father's senior. He should be mentioned first. Also, which we have to appreciate in grammar, komu boneh v'yashiruah, ba'alo v'yhalalo. The komu goes on the husband as well. Yeah? Komu boneh v'yashiruah, sons rose up and gave a credit. Ba'alo v'yhalalo. What's in ba'alo? Ba'alo is going on the komu. He also stood up. Why is he standing up? Vayhalalo, and he praised. A few questions. So I heard a mahalach from Rosh Hashiva Beis Meir of Rotsburg, and I saw it in Miyam Loes. He says Komu has a different explanation here. It's referring to they rose to greatness. Her children, her sons, became great. Komu boneh vayashiruah. The sons weren't ma'asheher. The people, the Welt. Ashrei yoladato. When the son rises to greatness, people say, wow, that's the mother. Her input of the mother, we know she's such a tzaddikah, she's an Eishes Chayil. So komu boneh v'yashua, that comes first. She was the cause for the sons to rise to greatness. What's ba'alo v'halo? Yeah, ba'alo as well. Husband also, in his own, with his koiches, his ability, he reached his shleimus with her input. Ba'alo, he was also rose to greatness, kom. V'halalo, and now is the time for him to praise her. So now, Rabbos bonus osuchay, the husband saying it, v'at olis al kulono. I had another mahalach in Komu Boneo before I heard this mahalach from the Me'am Loes, like this, Caputo. The children are at home. They see the mother. You know, they're with the mother probably much longer than the father. And so they see her. They see the way she treats Aniyim, the way she answers phone calls, the way her speech, her dress, etc., etc. The children learn Torah. And they sometimes realize, wow, mummy is really special. So they sometimes see exciting aspects, facets of her behavior, which the husband doesn't even know, because she manages to hide all of this. So they're dying to tell the father when he comes home. So as the father comes home, what do? They stand up. Komu boneh v'yashua. They come to give the mother the credit to tell him, Daddy, do you know mommy's done such and such? Do you know what such takers you've had? If he reaches such a pinnacle, then obviously the husband now is now ba'alo v'yhalalo. He has to now show his appreciation to his wife, and he's going to stand up. And according to the second pshat, it's not that he rose to greatness. He's going to stand up. When his wife comes into the room, he'll stand up and give her the credit she deserves. Rabbos bonus osuchay. Now, this posuk, we had the most difficult kasha on Eishes Chayil, was this kasha. Rabbos, so how can a husband honestly say to his wife, Rabbos bonus osuchayil v'at olis al kulono? Even Shlomo HaMelech had 1,000 wives. There's millions of women around. How can you say, honestly, you know all the other women available? How can you say that? Well, it's just, the Torah is the Torah's MS. So the first mahalach, when we went through it, we said it fits in very nicely with the mahalach of Pininim, it's as follows. He's saying that Michro, it's all about Michro, the input of the husband. The husband is saying, you know, I've invested in you. I've invested in you. You, Baruch Hashem, grown with your challenges, and I tried with my input, and you are a priceless gem. Rabbos bonus osuchoyil. There may be many, many women out there who husbands have also put with their input with Shlomo Melech's advice, but atolis al kulono, why? You are priceless to me. I haven't invested in any other woman. So as far as I'm concerned, they're not worth anything. Your worth is because of my input. That's his honest statement. There occurred to me a more poshut mahalach was as follows, that Rabos bonus osuchoyil, one question which I missed out was as follows. The Chavrusa asked as follows, Eishes Chal Miyutza, there's some difficulty in finding Eishes Chal. Let's say it's the woman you've married, but to bring out the full potential, it's not Muva Me'elov. So says, suddenly Yerushalayim Melech says, Rabos bonus osuchoyil, what will happen? At the beginning it was Eishes Chal Miyutza, how do you find her? And now you're saying Rabbos Bonos Asachayel. So we'd have to say, okay, Pashtus, that it means after following Shlomo Melech's advice, the situation changes and Rabbos Bonos Asachayel, people realize the good. So it occurred to me another mahalach, a more simple mahalach, is as follows. That you've got Eishes Chayel and you've got Benos Chayel. Eishes Chayel is the married woman. Benos Chayel is unmarried girls who are very noble. I didn't answer the question of Gabi Chayel. I just want to answer now in brackets. What's the chayil? How do we touch? What's going to the gibor chayil? So chayil seems to be just as a gibor. Every battle he faces, he becomes more and more valuable. He fights another battle successfully, another battle, and people realize that this is a real gibor, a valiant warrior. Similarly, they just chayil. With every challenge she faces, she grows and grows and grows and grows. That's the chayil. It's a bas aliyah. Coming back to Rabbos bonus of chayil. So it occurred to me like this. His husband says to his wife, with all honesty, I don't know all the other women, all the other unmarried girls, but I can say one thing. I'm convinced that all the unmarried girls, with all their chai, all the good they do, all the chesed, but no one can match you. You're in a league of your own. Because you're married, you've got all the challenges of a married woman, and I know you're facing the challenges, you outdo all of them. That's the Rabbos Bonos HaZachal V'Atol Yisalkan. That's his honest and genuine maskona. Adkan Higanu, as I say, anyone who's interested, I've got Chovras here in English. I'd be happy if the Olam have got to enjoy it and maybe give any horrors.